Hey church, we want to welcome you to another inspirational message from Manukau New Life. We hope you enjoy and have a great day. Be blessed.
This morning's message is called the Dad Code, and it's allowed to be as dad joke as we want it to be, all right? So yeah, a couple of weeks back, I was reading the Daily Devotion in the YouVersion Bible app, and this verse, 1 Corinthians 16, 13, 14, well, this passage came up. And as I read it, it really struck me as a great guide, some great values, a great code, man code, great sort of set of values to live my life by. And so I was talking to Sunya about this, and I said, let's ask some of the brothers this week to share what they get out of this. And so they each took a section of this passage, 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and played that. And they put that up on the, they recorded some stuff and put it up on the page. And so I want to just let you have a listen to snippets of that here so you get some of the awesome insight that was just flowing this week from some of the dads. Let's play that.
So my part of this passage is be on guard. And so I remember when we were living in Wattle Downs, our dairy got robbed. The car had rammed through its front door. And so prior to that, we weren't really too concerned about the safety and about anyone as suspect. But, you know, after that incident, we were all on high alert. But you know what? That's the same with us in our spiritual war, is that we have to understand that the devil doesn't play nice. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we need to be constantly on our guard.
Kia ora, in our men. The part that I'm going to share about is standing firm in the faith. And I think it's really important when I think of what it means to stand firm in the faith, to understand what the basis of my faith is. So there's always this constant challenge in life that things aren't always going to be or they could be. But I come to expect that because in the basis of my faith is the realization that God's redemptive work has not yet been complete. So by the same faith, my faith allows me to extend grace where grace needs to be extended. And at times when I've done the broken thing, ask for grace to be extended to me, whether that's from my wife, from my kids, or from my colleagues. So
for me, being courageous is something I've been walking out since about 2018, when it became quite obvious that I wasn't going to be returning to driving as a career. Since then, I've needed to be courageous and trust the Lord fully for His provision and accept that my wife is the primary income earner for this season of our life. Being a stay-at-home parent, all these things have been not without challenge and definitely required some courage. Also, probably at 47 years old, changing my profession to something completely different and going from driving trucks to working with youth in various forms. So returning to formal learning also has been something I needed some courage for. But I find in the home that it takes a lot of courage these days to stand for the truth. You know, the enemy's throwing stuff at us and our families, through media, through their peers, at school, the things they learn. And to actually stand against that and stand for truth does require quite a lot of courage.
My part of what I speak about on that scripture was be strong. When I was at Manurewa High School, I was not getting a full-time contract, and some people had come into my workplace and they had gone into a full-time contract, and I was going to have to teach PE or something, maths or something like that, part-time as well as PE. And I was a bit upset, eh? But then I looked on a Bible Gateway, what was the word for today? And I said, Lord, speak to me, what's going on? And I said, for I know the plans. Out of all of the scriptures that I had on that very day that I checked and said to God, God, show me what's going on. I'm fed up. I've had enough. I said, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future, something like that. I think it's Jeremiah 29:11.
To do everything in love. It was a Saturday. Mine and I went to buy bread from one of our local bakeries. And there was a young man in his early 20s who was sitting outside the bakery with his pregnant girlfriend. And he asked me for some money as I approached. So I thought to myself, well, I'll give this young man a piece of my mind. And I kind of got on his case and told him he should be working and not asking for money. And his response was, "Sorry, sir, you are right. Sorry I asked." After hearing his response, I felt bad. And so I asked him if he was hungry, and he said, "Yes, sir." So I went into the bakery and bought food for both of them. As I came out of the bakery, my wife Moana was talking with a young lady. And Moana turns to me and says, "We are taking this young lady home to have a shower and a change of clothes." At first I was thinking, "Are you out of your mind?" See, my wife reminded me about extending the love of Christ to this person who is in need. You see, I was very judgmental on the couple and not operating in love. And we found out later from the young lady that they were on the street because of a certain circumstance that was out of their control, and all she needed was a shower. You know, we were able that day to bless these two young people because my wife was operating with love. And I thank God for our better halves who can help us men sometimes see more clearly.
So good. So good, right? Some just amazing testimonies there from the brothers, just talking about how God is speaking to them from this passage and challenging them in their lives. Every now and then I come across a Bible verse that I think this was written for men. This was just written for us guys, because it's sort of like a summary headline of everything. I was filling in for one of the youth leaders taking a Connect group for youth on Tuesday night, and Pastor Tim preached a great message on humility, being humble. Very good message. Hope the young people tuned into that. And I was sharing with these young people about one of my verses as a young person was Micah 6:8. And I love that verse because when I read it, I memorized it because it was like, yeah, that gave me the headlines. Like, you know, us guys, we like the headlines in the newspaper. We don't like all of the detail. And so Micah 6:8 was like, you know, "He's shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And I could remember those three things, you know, do what is right, show compassion and grace, and carry that in humility towards God and, you know, through life so that I don't get big-headed. And I love those passages. In fact, I think that's what we need in our world, in our society. We need more people who are doing what is right, being humble about it, and are showing mercy and compassion. Our nation is looking for a revival in those areas. The last thing we need is somebody else who's doing the wrong thing and who's being proud and being arrogant. Amen. We need to show the world a different example of all of that. So this verse here, when I read it in 1 Corinthians 16, I was like, yeah, this is another one of those headline verses that kind of summarizes stuff, and I can get this down. This passage in verse 13 to 14, you know, it says, be on guard. It says, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything in love. And I was like, man, I can get those five things. That's something I could look at. The ESV, let me read it to you, says this: be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. And I think when I read this, I think this is like the Christian code. This could be a man code, how to live my life by. But today, because it's Father's Day, I called it the dad code. The dad code. There's many decisions we have to make as dads and as mums about life. We have to decide where to, you know, send our kids to school. I was talking to a dad this week. I was having coffee and a dad kind of came over and said hello, and he said, "Can I ask you a few questions?" And I said, "Sure." And he said, "I'm just trying to work out where to send my son to school." And he was like, "Can you give me some thoughts on that?" And I said, "Sure, I'll give you four things that helped us make that decision." I just bang, bang, bang. And I think it's what we need in life is sometimes we need like a code to run our choices through, our decisions through, so that we can make wise decisions and that we can make good decisions that will help our family, help in our workplace, help in other areas of life. And when I read this here, I think this is some really good stuff. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything in love. I think if I could put that code across all my decisions, I could probably make some better, wiser choices in life. So I love what the guys shared this week, and they really broke it down. It was really good. All of you fellas did an awesome job. I wanted to look at this from a slightly different perspective. I wanted to look at it from the change in posture that happens throughout this passage. Did you notice when you read this that there's a change, there's a shift in your posture? The first is watchful. The next one is standing. The next one is being. And the final one is doing. So I just want to talk about three of those. I want to talk about standing, being, and doing. And I've just called my message, stand firm, be strong, and do love. But there's a progression here in our faith. There's a progression in our walk with God. So I want to sort of talk to it from that perspective. Holy Spirit, help us this morning as we look at this passage. Open our hearts, open our minds, and speak to us each today. In Jesus' name, amen. So my first thought is this, stand firm. You've got to learn as a dad, you've got to learn as a person how to stand in life. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. And you've got to ask yourself sometimes, what am I built of? What do I have on the inside? I took a stand earlier this week. I stood for something. Some of my daughters came and suggested that maybe they wouldn't be around for Father's Day, that there were other priorities, there were other things going on in their life. So I took a stand. I said, you know what? If we're not going to be here for Father's Day, then birthdays will be canceled for the next 3 years. And they were like, ooh, Dad's taking a stand. Dad's taking a stand right here. Sometimes you got to stand for what is right. Amen? Do I hear an amen there? Come on, you got to stand. Seriously though, as a man, do you stand? Do you have what it takes to stand? Or do you like buckle and give in at the first sign of pressure? Are you able to stand and say no to some things you need to say no to? Or stand for some things you need to stand up for? What are you standing for? It's all good to make a stand, but what are you standing for? We see a lot of billboards out there at the moment on the street, people standing for this party, standing for this set of values, standing for that. What are we standing for? What do we stand for? What is it that we draw the line in? Paul writes down here, stand firm in the faith. Earlier on, see, this verse is like a summary of what he's been talking about in the whole letter. So earlier on in the book of Corinthians, he's been talking about all the schisms happening in the church, how one is going with Apollos and one's with Paul and one's with Cephas and one's with this one. And he's saying, listen, you're all getting caught up in disunity and attacking one another because you're standing with your agendas, you're standing with your little clique, with your crew, and you're going, well, I'm this and I'm that and I'm this. And he's calling them back to stand with the faith of Jesus, saying you can get all worked up about your thing over here and your thing over there, but will you stand on what is important? That is your faith in Christ. Stand firm on your faith and stop being caught up in all these other agendas of the enemy to bring division into the house of God. You got to watch for that stuff. You got to watch. You got to be careful. My dad, when he taught me how to drive. Driving the car, was learning to change the gears and get that clutch working and everything. And I'd be driving along the road, focused on the car, focused on the sort of what was 2 meters in front of me. And Dad would say to me this. He would say, son, look up. Look up, look ahead, watch ahead. See the intersection we're coming up to. Do you see the cars coming on the side? Learn to look up, learn to watch. Watch the car on the side of the road. Watch what's over there. Watch that person over there. Look up, look ahead. We have to have eyes that can see ahead. If you want to stand firm, you have to look up. You have to be on guard. You have to watch for what is coming at you out there. And Paul's saying to the church, listen, you're allowing things to come in and you're not watching. You're not being on guard and you're being distracted from the main thing and you need to stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in what you believe is right. In 1 Corinthians 15, back in the previous chapter, is the earliest recorded Christian creed, statement of faith. that historians have ever found. This is the summary. This is the early church creed. We have the Nicene Creed and others that were written later, but this is the first creed that was actually written. Paul says this, listen, in 1 Corinthians 15, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand." This is the thing that he's referring to. This is where you take your stand. "By this gospel you are saved. Hold firmly to the word I preached to you." This is the stand that we stand firmly in. And he says this in verse 3, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day." Come on, that is our faith. That is what we stand firmly upon. Paul reminds the church to stand upon the gospel, encourage us to stand upon the redemptive work of the cross. That is a powerful place to make your stand. I want to get a t-shirt made that says, "Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again." That's my stand. That's my message to the world. That's where I stand. That's what I declare, that I was a sinner, that I was broken, that I was messed up, but that Jesus died for my sins, that I'm forgiven. He was buried, and that life, resurrection life, came from death, and that I'm living in the power of that freedom. That's a good place to take a stand. And I loved what Hamish shared this week. He talked about how the reality of that actually works itself out in our family life and in our work life and in the way we interact with people. Our faith reflects in how we live our lives. Stand firm in the faith. When you take a stand, when you position yourself on something, there will come opposition. There will come opposition in the spirit, something that will try to knock you back, push you down, make you conform to the standard of the world. And so Paul says here, be courageous, be strong. Be this internal, this word be, to be or not to be. It causes us to reflect, doesn't it, on what's in the inside. What is my being? Who am I inside? Am I made of metal or mellow puffs? What have you got on the inside of you? There's many a tough guy who can tackle people on the rugby field, but when his wife asks him to vacuum the floor or do the dishes, he's overcome with a sudden great illness and unable to rise and push that vacuum cleaner on the floor. Daughters, if you find a young man like that, that's a mellow puff man. He won't be dating anybody like that. He needs to know how to vacuum the floor. He needs to have something stronger on the inside. Maybe you feel a bit weak today. And as we were worshiping, I want to acknowledge, I sensed God said to me, there are people watching today who, for whatever reason, are feeling a little bit weak. I want to encourage you. I want to put some courage inside of you. Encourage means to put in courage. Encourage you today in your faith, in your conviction. You know, brother, father, sister, mother, you might be feeling all alone today. You might be feeling that, man, I'm just up against everything. It feels too overwhelming. It feels too difficult. I don't know if I can cope with everything. All of the challenges in family, or the challenges of lockdown, or the challenges of whatever's going on in your world and your life right now. That song we sung before, "Not for a minute was I forsaken." That's what the Lord said to me to tell you. Not for a minute have you been forsaken. You are not alone. Jesus is for you. Jesus is with you. The Holy Ghost is right there in whatever space you are right now listening to this. You are not forsaken. He is there with you. He is the lover of your soul. He is your provider. He is the one who will encourage your heart today. Encourage yourself in the Lord. David had to encourage himself in the Lord. There are times we face so much stuff, isn't it, that we just feel like overwhelmed. And those times are the times we need to speak to ourselves, look in the mirror and say, "I'm encouraging myself today. God has a plan for your life, Stephen. God has a plan, a destiny, and a purpose for you." You've got to speak to yourself and encourage yourself sometimes. and surround yourself with people who will speak encouragement into you. The encouragement part is the part that we do to ourselves. Maybe you feel like you got knocked down, beat up by the enemy. Maybe you feel like, man, I'm just getting hit from everywhere. Maybe you feel knocked down on the ground. Well, say this verse with me. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. I love that. I love that verse. It's a great verse. If I feel like I got beat up, knocked down, I begin to declare that. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, because when I fall, I will arise. And when I get up, I'm going to create trouble for you. I'm going to mess with your plans. I'm going to bring more people to Jesus. I'm going to stand up in the power of the Holy Ghost. That's a verse for somebody there today because, you know, life can be unpredictable. Life can be challenging, can't it? Life can be filled with stresses and things that come at you and then all of a sudden something else hits you and you're like, whoa, what's going on? You know, that's when we need to get into the Word of God. The Word of God is filled with people who faced plagues and armies and trouble and seas blocking their way. But we read those stories. We read the stories of a young guy who takes on a giant, of a man who leads a people through the sea, and of God's deliverance in the middle of trouble. And we begin to read those stories of faith, and something stirs within us to go, you know what? I'm not alone. God is with me. God can make a way. He is able to make a way through whatever you're facing. Listen to some advice from a father, Moses, speaking to his spiritual son, Joshua. Listen what he says. He says, son, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. God is with you. Take this people to possess the land. Listen to some advice from King David to his son Solomon. What does he say to him? Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Build the temple of the Lord. Listen to some advice from a father in the faith, the Apostle Paul, to his son Timothy. What does he say? Son, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Fathers, encourage your sons and get some encouragement from a father if you need it, a father in the faith. And like Susie said, I don't have my dad here, but I have a father like Pastor Jim who speaks into me, hey, be strong, be courageous. I was speaking to my sons, be strong, be courageous. You can do this. There will be times when you face trouble, but you've got to know there's somebody there to encourage you and be a father who speaks courage into our children. I loved Murray's story of the courage he's had to face the opposition, the challenges in his life. I was speaking to another dad this week, and he was talking about having to do a similar thing, go back to learning a new skill, learning a new trade. He was learning to be a sparky, and he was like, man, this is really quite challenging, getting back into the books. And he said, I just encouraged him and just said, you can do this. And, you know, there's just times like that when we need to be filled with courage, don't we? As dads and as fathers, and they'd prayed about it together, him and his wife, and they got counsel and felt this was the thing to do. Be strong, be courageous. This word strong, courage is the part that we do. Strength is the part the Lord does. God wants to put strength into you. This is different to courage. Courage is when I encourage myself. Strength is what flows from heaven toward us. To be strong, this word strong is always used in connection with the Spirit. It's used to describe John the Baptist when he was, let me read it to you, and the child grew and became strong in spirit. Paul uses this word in Ephesians 3. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. There is a place where we encourage ourselves and encourage myself, but I get to the end of the line. I get to a point where I feel like I can't quite do this anymore. That's where the strength of heaven takes over. That's where the power of the Holy Spirit comes in. And God says, I will put my strength in your weakness. I will cause you to be strong by the power of the Holy Spirit on the inner man, on the inner person today. And I want to encourage you with that word today, that when you've encouraged yourself, know that there is a strength that will flow from heaven that comes from your relationship with the Holy Spirit, comes from your dependence upon heaven. One of the ways we can tap into that is thanksgiving. Is instead of being ingrates, is living a life of gratitude towards heaven. In 1 Thessalonians I think it's 1 Thessalonians. Paul says, pray, rejoice, and be thankful, and so you will walk in the will of God. You receive the will of God for your life. You know, when I'm thankful to heaven, when I'm thankful, when I'm operating and I'm just grateful, even when I feel like life is tough, I continue to be grateful. I continue to be thankful. I continue to do that. I'm actually saying, I depend upon you. I'm walking in humility. And as I'm doing that, I'm opening up heaven over my life through my thankfulness. And I'm actually doing what Jesus prayed, that God's kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. One of the keys to receiving strength is actually to be thankful. To be thankful. Have you been thankful lately? Have I been thankful lately? Maybe all of us can be a little bit more thankful for the small things, for the small mercies, for the goodness of God in our lives. Amen? It's easy to be a complainer, but it takes a bit of energy to be thankful. So encourage yourself in the Lord and continue to walk in gratefulness and allow the Spirit of the Lord to stir something within you. And finally this morning, as we are standing and as we are standing in strength, we're being strong and courageous, the final thing is to move out and to begin to do everything in love. Do everything in love. Where does that come from within Corinthians? Well, that's obvious. That's the chapter we read at every wedding, right? 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, doesn't keep a record of wrongs, and about 100 other things there, you know, like love is all these things. And I can see the scribe writing this letter for Paul, and he's like, okay, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever read or written about love in my whole life, but it's so long, Paul, we need a version for the men. You know, like, I don't know if I'm going and do I do all these things and, you know, am I doing love? Like, just give us something for the men. And so Paul's like, okay, something for the guys, something simple, something headline. Just do everything in love. There it is. Just do everything in love. And I can see the scribe go, are you sure? Like, you mean like do some things in love, right? Or no, most things. Do most things in love. Paul's like, no, it's do everything in love. I mean, I got to be honest, that verse is a challenge for me. Anybody else? Anybody else feel slightly challenged by that? Do everything in love. Everything? Everything in love. Wow. I mean, that's a great dad code right there. Because there's moments, let's be honest, dads, when, you know, the whole be strong thing, yeah, like stand up, yeah. But now do everything in love. Do everything in love. That's challenging. We went to do the shopping this week, and Susie went in to Pack and Save to do the shopping. You know, only one person allowed in. So I'm sitting in the car, and as I'm sitting there, I notice this guy sitting on the other side of the road, and he has a cardboard sign. And I'm reading his sign, and it says, no money, no food, no benefit, no dignity, in God I trust. And I was like, whoa, just felt the Holy Spirit move me. So I went over to him and said, hey man, what's your name? He said, oh, Rob. Got chatting to Rob. He's in his mid-60s. He just had a rough turn of life. He had his daughter die, put so much pressure on him and his wife that their marriage had broken up, and he'd lost his job, and he went to get a benefit, and I said, why couldn't you get a benefit? And he said, oh, there's another guy out there with a similar name, and the police have got a warrant for his arrest. And he said, so they wouldn't give me any benefit. And I said, didn't you ask about how? He said, no, I just got upset at that point and just walked out. And I said, where are you living? And I said, oh, someone gave me a room to stay in, but I just have no money. I have nothing. And I asked him if he needed some food. He said, no, actually, I've got some food here. But and I asked him a few other questions, and I knew a few things he was talking about. And I was like, this guy's actually legit. This guy's actually really legit. And I thought, this could have been me. This could have been somebody else. This could be someone else who's just, life just fell apart. And here he is sitting on the side of the road with a cardboard sign saying, I just got no dignity left in this life. And so I had a good chat to him, and
I ended up telling him the end because he started telling me, you know, the one thing that's helped me is I found my daughter's Bible and I've started like trying to follow Jesus. I hadn't even told him I was a pastor or a Christian at this point. And he said, I'm trying to go to this church. And he told me the name of the church is the pastor. He went and I knew that guy. And so I was like, wow, okay, this guy's legit. So then I told him, yeah, I'm a pastor, bro. And, you know, I told him where our church is. He said, come on down and we'll try and help you sort out this benefit issue and try and help you. And he said to me, he said, man, you know, it has just made my day that you actually bothered to stop and talk to me. And he didn't want anything from me. He just said, just the fact that you said hello has made my day. He just said, I'm so happy now. And so I prayed for him. And then at the end, I shook his hand. And we were a little bit of a laugh about that. Are we supposed to shake hands? I don't know, you know, lockdown and all the rest of it. But I just think sometimes love's more important than fear. And just being loving, doing all things in love is something that I think I can grow in, something I think all of us can grow in. We need to, love looks like something. Love isn't just us sitting by and doing nothing. Love looks like you and me doing something to find somebody or to reach out to somebody. You can't say you love your wife if you never vacuum the floor and do the dishes. You can't say you love your neighbor if you've never talked to them about Jesus. Come on. Love looks like something. Love looks like you and I actually doing something to demonstrate the love of God to the world. It's a time for you and I to stand up and to do something. Do everything in love. Do everything. And imagine a world, imagine a city where everything that was done in love. Just imagine a suburb, Manurewa. Everybody, everything they did, they thought, is this loving? Is this kind? Is this the loving thing to do? Imagine walking around in a place like that. I mean, that sounds like heaven, doesn't it? That sounds like, that'd be pretty awesome. That's what we're called to be, people who bring heaven to earth. So that's my challenge to us today. Would you stand firm? Would you be strong? And would you do love? Would you do those three things, the dad code today, the man code today, the Christian code today, whatever. I think it's awesome for all of us. But I think for me as a guy, as a bloke, I can remember those three. All right, stand firm, be strong, and do love. Let me put that filter on as I start to make choices and decisions for my life, for my family, for my workplace, for my community.